Hi, this is Susan Levin at Speaker Services and Speakers Community, and today my guest is Reno Levinson, and we're here to talk to you about online video strategies, and video is hot. It really rocks. How you doing today, Reno?
Good, Susan. How are you? Glad to be here.
Let me introduce you, Reno, to our guests. Most of our guests will be listening to this call afterwards, but we want them to know about you. Reno is a frequent speaker and trainer and the author of Turn Your Business Card into Business, promoting the importance of face-to-face networking and building word-of-mouth referrals. He's the owner of Reno Love and Son Marketing, providing strategic marketing and communication services for growing businesses. Video has always been one of the primary services offered. And over the past 20 years, Reno has produced hundreds of corporate videos, TV programs, and commercials. In the new millennium, video has found its home on the web, and Reno has directed his efforts to producing short videos that train, educate, and inform web visitors about his clients' products and services. His special interest is producing book video trailers. And you can see many of them at authorsbroadcast.com. And that helps authors and publishers promote their books. So there you have it. And again, we're going to be talking, both of us are going to be talking today about the marketing efforts, about online marketing strategies for video. Have you been YouTubed? Have you heard that? You know, people are always, you know, talking about it. And I know you and I have been pioneering in the world of video, and I think just now, Reno, people are beginning to catch on to the idea that it's really important to have video in any format that they can get it up there. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I think that from this moment on, I think we're just going to see more and more video surfacing on people's websites as it becomes more popular. We've talked about this before, that the whole idea that, you know, people now have high-speed internet access, so video is now possible to do via the web and to do it well and to do it easily. And it's really within the grasp of anyone who has a website. So it's my prediction that we're going to see virtually anyone who has a website. Now the next step is going to be everyone needs to have some kind of video as part of their marketing mix.
Yeah, and let me just say there's all different kinds of videos that can be done. And here at Speaker Services, about 13 or 14 years ago, we started to do three-camera video demo showcases. When people need to get booked as a speaker, or when they are getting booked as a speaker, it is important for them to be shown in front of an audience. And it's important that they have good lighting. It's important that they have a good electronic presentation packet, which includes a video. It really does help them to get booked. So we do that as a service, and not that many people do, because it's tricky. You need an audience there, and you need we fake it. We have an audience, but we set it up so that it looks like it's a real, you know, presentation.
Mm-hmm. And you do a nice job, I might say, from the ones that I've seen. And I think those kinds of videos are, as you said, very important for people who do public speaking, because that's the sample that you can provide so that people can see whether you're any good at your public speaking and how you present yourself to an audience and what you look like and that sort of thing. So, you know, I agree with you. That's certainly one type of video that's very important for public speakers.
Yeah, absolutely. And many speakers or authors, you know, don't feel that it's necessary to have a three-camera shoot because they think that they can probably get away with a one-camera, which is fine. And there's all different ways, once again, that you can produce video. You could go to a professional person like Reno, or to Speaker Services, or a lot. What we found out this past weekend when we taught our web video marketing workshop was that a lot of people were practicing on their flip cameras, on their Kodak cameras, which are very inexpensive, because they weren't even that comfortable in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad idea to get out there and practice. You can hold the camera up to you. You can use a webcam if you choose to. And what they couldn't get, you know, and we were doing performance coaching, Barbara Niven was helping them with that, was that they needed to speak to the camera. They needed to talk to the camera as if it was their friend and speak heart to heart. That was so hard for people.
Yeah, that's it's a talent that takes a little getting used to. And because I've spent so much time behind the camera and also,
yeah,
I would say to the side of the camera directing people,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting. I did an interview, a live interview on a television program in Chicago a few months ago. And all of a sudden, I was like, you know, this is a little nerve-wracking being on this side of the camera, you know,
uh-huh,
in a live interview. And it, you know, echoed back to me so many times when I've told people, just relax, don't worry about it, talk
yeah,
to the camera, you know. But, you know, it's good to have those opportunities to practice, because it is a talent that takes a little bit of getting used to. But if you can see the camera as a person, if you can look at it and just, you know, pretend that it's a person that you're talking to, those are the people that are most effective when people view their videos. So it is something worth practicing.
Right, absolutely. And I suggest that everybody do that, and that they, you know, get a coach or just, you know, do it themselves, so that when they do get to do the video, that they're real. You know, heart to heart.
Yeah.
You know, there was a great article, I don't know if you saw this or heard me mention this before, in USA Today a while ago, and it said, you don't need a pan and a stream in California to join the next gold rush.
Mm-hmm.
A video camera, computer, and high-speed internet connection will do. Well, that's pretty, you know, heavy duty. You know, USA Today is saying it, and they're recognizing that. So I say to our speakers and the people who are listening, the authors, that, yes, you do need to use video because it can turn into gold. But as we get into this, I'd like to, you know, talk a little bit about why I think, and you think, you know, people respond to video. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if that was a question or a statement, but
it was a statement, but I heard you starting to answer.
Yeah, but I suppose I'll just, you know, jump in there and say,
sure,
that obviously video incorporates all of the things that we are used to experiencing in a real live interaction with another human being, and that is that we can see their facial expressions, we can hear their voice, and
mm-hmm,
I think that, you know, those are two very compelling things that are exciting for the viewer to see the person that they're talking to. On one hand, that's true. And then also when it comes to, you know, demonstration, certainly that old adage of a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
If you can show what you're doing, you know, video is just great for that. So the idea that, you know, we've grown up in a video culture now. It's been, we've had 50 years of television, and we're used to communicating with that media. And we're also used to seeing video. So it's something that people expect to see, want to see, and they're happy to have the content delivered in that fashion. So, and as I said before, with high-speed internet access now, we can actually produce quality video and put it out there for virtually the world to see quite inexpensively and quite effectively.
Absolutely right. I think also that video builds trust when, based on what you were saying as well, piggybacking on that, you know, when somebody can see you live and get a feeling for you and see where you're coming from, they feel better, because a lot of us are doing business over the internet these days. It's not so much face-to-face, and that makes a huge difference in deciding who you're going to work with.
Absolutely. Now, also, I think it's only fair to sort of at least nod to the negative aspects. I sort of got a kick out of the fact that you said video builds trust. Well, of course, you know, Richard Nixon found that video did just the opposite for him back in his debate against Kennedy. That, you know,
mm-hmm,
that was a famous sort of introduction to the use of video, and I think it's apropos here in the sense that we are now having our introduction to video. And I think that, you know, what Nixon learned the hard way, and for those of you, those people who don't know what I'm talking about, of course, was, you know, during that debate, it is said that the people who heard the debate on the radio thought that Nixon did the better job, but people who had actually seen it on television thought that Kennedy did the better job because Kennedy came across better on video than Nixon did. And, you know, I think it's only fair to mention that because of the fact that it alludes to the next step, is that what one thing you and I will talk about is the quality of video and, you know, the reason why we need to do better at what we do as well. So, and not just sort of throw anything out there.
Yeah, yeah. And you can tell the difference when somebody throws something up, like what you just alluded to, and when somebody has a professional person do it for them. And I'll say this, I'll be vulnerable here. When Reno and I first talked, although we knew each other before, I was struggling or challenged to get some video up on my website, and I was using my flip camera, and Reno kept saying to me, "You got to do better. You got to do better." And finally, I went to a gal, Barbara Nixon.
I'm so rude, by the way.
No, you're not rude. You're right. That's what we all need, is, you know, somebody to push us to do better. That's what a good coach does, or a good friend or a colleague. I appreciate it. And I went to Barbara Niven, who I partner with here in L.A., and by the way, Reno's in Chicago, we went into the studio, and I did 9 videos, 9 one-camera videos. They're about a minute long. And they really did the trick. They're all over my website. They're all over social media. And as soon as I put them up, which was about 2 months ago, boy, did I see an increase in my business.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's very
Yeah, the numbers just doubled. The phone was ringing, you know. And I already have established a reputation. But when people saw that, you know, who didn't know me, they were like, oh, my God, you know, this woman knows what she's talking about. I want to hear more of what she's saying. But I learned a few things, how to speak into the camera, even though I've been speaking for a long time. I'm not a quote-unquote professional speaker. I teach people how to market themselves as speakers.
Right.
You know, I'm on the other side of it. But the videos are just wonderful. And with the right makeup and the right lighting is the key.
Lighting is so important. And I think if there's anything that, as a videographer myself, if there's anything I can tell people who want to do this on their own, you know, some of the big things to look at is just be sure you have plenty of lighting. Video likes light. And even with the cameras today, which are very, very light sensitive, you can practically shoot in the dark. You can get an image, you know. But more light is always better. And don't be afraid to even sort of go a little air more on the side of being a little washed out than being too much in the shade. Because you never know how it's going to look on the person's monitor that's looking at it. And generally, it's going to come out better if you have more light than less light. And the other thing, as you said, look directly into the camera. And the other thing I would say is look at your camera angle and be sure that your camera's not too high and not too low, you know, so you don't see too much of the top of your head, and also that we're not sort of shooting, you know, basically your chin. Those are some of the big mistakes that I see that people make, that their video can be considerably improved just by watching that camera angle. Don't just take whatever angle your camera happens to be at, and be sure you have plenty of light.
You know, today I got an email invitation through John Kremer, or I saw it on his website. That's bookmarketing.com. Are you familiar with John? Oh, he's incredible. He's like so well known. He wrote the book 1001 Ideas How to Market Your Book.
Okay.
And his website, bookmarketing.com, is a treasure trove of information. That would be a good place for you, Reno.
Yeah, I'm writing it down. I'm looking at it.
On the email that he sent out today, it seems that he and another woman are teaming up to come to L.A., to Hollywood, in August to do a 2 or 3 day seminar on how you could be a reality star.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. I thought, oh, this is good. This is really good. And he gave tons of examples how people are on reality shows. And then how do you break into this? And it is easy, you know. And I mentioned it to my housemate, and he said, yeah, you don't even really need to be on TV because everything's on the Internet now.
Yeah,
and they're looking
absolutely.
For content.
You could be the star of your own reality show if you want to today.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And you do short segments.
Yeah.
But they go ahead.
I was going to say, which, by the way, I think, you know, though we say that maybe a little tongue-in-cheek here, but I think if we were to talk a little bit about the idea of video blogs and the idea of how you can use video on your website to regularly interact with your base, with your clients, you know, customers, friends, whatever, that, in a sense, you know, that's what you are doing, is sort of having a kind of a reality television show where you're sharing your ideas and sharing your information on a regular basis. And some of the cameras that you alluded to, again, I'll talk a little bit more technically here, is the idea of the flip camera or the Kodak version, which is what I use. I have the Kodak version of the flip for anybody listening who wants to check it out. And most people are familiar with the flip camera, but certainly you can take those with you and you can do little videos on the fly, you know, while you're in your car or in front of some beautiful scenery, wherever you happen to be. I was in New Mexico last week, took a little video there. So certainly you could be the star of your own reality show. Just take your flip camera with you and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about wherever you happen to be.
And you say so how would you use that on your blog to let people know that you were there?
Yeah, well, not just that, but, you know, why not just take advantage of the fact that you're there in some different scenery? This is some of the things that, you know, I think what we're going to be seeing a lot of, we're already seeing a lot of, we're going to see more of, is a lot of bad video. And that's going to be people sitting in front of their computer where they've got their little camcorder stuck up to the top of their monitor, and they're going to be talking into it with some weird lighting and weird camera angle, and it'll be amusing the first couple of times. But, you know, after that, do people really want to just see you there doing that? So why not, you know, have a more portable camera like a flip or the Kodak that you can put in your pocket. Go out in your backyard, shoot some there, or, you know, why not in your car while you're going someplace, you know, talk to the camera.
Talk to the hand.
Please be careful if you're videotaping in the car by yourself. But
I was thinking that.
But, you know, I mean, if you wanted to be clever, you could tape your camera to the dashboard, you know, and get an angle there. Or maybe you live in a beautiful environment. You're in California. I'm sure there's all kinds of nice places that you could be. If you do decide to use some of these ideas, the next thing you have to do is watch your audio. Be sure that you don't have a lot of wind blowing in there, because that could be as obnoxious as bad video, as bad sound. So you do want to watch that. But these are just a couple of brainstorm ideas, just to give things that, if it's more interesting to watch, more likely people will watch it. I think that's my short message.
And let's tell people why the Kodak is better than the Flip.
Well, let's say why I prefer the Kodak over the Flip. One thing is that it has a slightly – both of these cameras will fit in your pocket. They're both I'm trying to think of – we can't say they're the size of a cigarette package today, because no one has seen one of those in a while, right?
Right.
But let's say it'll fit in your pocket. The Flip is a little bit more narrow. The Kodak has a slightly larger monitor, which I like. And also what I like about the Kodak is that though both cameras have USB capabilities easily built into them, you just simply plug them into your USB port.
Right.
The Kodak additionally has the ability to use an SD RAM card, which are those small kind of postage stamp size RAM cards that you can put in. And what I like about that, for instance, being on a trip, is that if I run out of space, I can just pop another SD RAM card in there. With the Flip camera, if you run out of your 4 megabytes or 8 megabytes or gigabytes or whatever it is, that your camera,
you're done.
Set up, you're done. You're cooked.
you're toast.
Yeah, until you can download that information, you're just stuck. So I think it's a real drawback to that camera. And they're about the same price, so I went with the Kodak. The Kodak, by the way, their native file is a .mov, which is ideal for Mac users. I'm a PC user, and I found that to be a little bit of a problem. But since then, the Pinnacle software that I use most often does support Move now. The last version didn't. The new version does. So that's nice. But there are a couple of programs out there that are free that you can get that will convert your .move file into an AVI or MPEG or whatever other format that's better for whatever software you're using. So hopefully that wasn't too technical, but most people should know that.
It might be for some people.
Yeah.
Because when we start talking .mov, .avi, I know what it is, but they're like,
what language
are you speaking?
Yeah, those are the, you know, just like you might use a .doc file for Word or whatever, MOV, AVI, MPG, those are the big video file formats.
Right. I think there was one other thing I heard that people liked the Kodak because it had a better audio capability that you could plug in.
That was also my observation when I bought it. I tested both of them. And actually, I found a guy who did it online very nicely. He taped a flip camera and Kodak camera together and shot the identical video at the same time and then compared both the video and the sound, which I thought was, you know, somewhat genius, though low tech.
You can put a separate, or you could use a microphone. Is that what it is? And
neither of them support separate, you know, inputs for microphone. But the Kodak just had better sound overall.
Okay.
Yeah, and so you have to be careful with both of the cameras that you don't move them around a lot. The best thing with these cameras is that you set them up sort of stationary and move in front of them. Don't move the camera because that creates case noise that will, you know, transfer into your audio. And also it seems to just render better. It could read images moving in front of it, but when you move the camera, it has too many things to deal with. So, you know, that could be a separate program we could talk about sometime later, aspects. But don't be afraid of it. I would say anybody listening to this, you know, get either one of them or play with a friend's camera if they have one. Mm-hmm. And just know that you can do some nice video yourself if you just pay a little attention to what you're doing and, you know, really don't move things around a lot and simply get some good lighting, find a nice camera angle, and vary your place. So whether you might talk in your front room one time, you might talk in your office, you might, you know, go outside, in the kitchen, who knows, maybe you want to share a recipe with somebody.
Yeah, or sitting on the bed watching TV or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I just reminded myself that I do have a chili recipe on my website.
That's good.
For fun. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the different ways that people can use video. Whether they use, I want to say, if you're using a flip camera, or webcam, or something like that, or specifically the Kodak or the flip. You could take it with you when you go to a conference or a workshop and do video testimonials. Then you can add them to your that page on your website. You can put them on your blog or your vlog if you choose to do that. You can. There are a lot of different ways that you can let people know that it's there and they can go to see it automatically. That's just one way. But I really still think that people need to have professional video. So I'm going to make a few suggestions here, and there is a post on my blog that you can find 42 different ways to use video.
Great.
And it's rated by popularity, whether it has good growth potential or not. But I'm going to come back to that because I'd like to give a couple suggestions because I know who our audience is. You can create short videos about your products or your services and then upload them to your website and also include video links in your press releases. A lot of people forget when they send out press releases that they could include the link to their video. That would make a big difference if you want somebody in the media to know more about you. And many more people are embedding video into their press releases these days
or their
book trailers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then speakers can create short video snippets of your presentations and post them on your site. For example, I have a video right on my website. When you come in, it's welcome to speaker services. Right away, it tells people who we are. But, you know, I've had a website since 94, and people would always say to me, so what is it that you do? And I had a video up there for a long time, but people still didn't know what I did. So this time I made sure that it's right up close and personal. And then for
can I make two quick comments?
Yes, please.
Because those are two important things that
you
said. And one is this idea of having some video that very quickly says what your website is about or what it is that you do. Because as you said, people can sit and read your whole site and still walk away and say, you know, I'm still not quite sure exactly what you do. But to take the time to explain it to them in 1 minute or less is my rule of thumb that I think that is really great. And with that in mind, and you know that I'm always saying this, is that, you know, short videos, short is what it's all about. People, there's been tests time and again that show that the first 30 seconds is what really counts.
Yeah.
A lot of people, most of your audience will bail out after 30 seconds.
Right.
If your message is not compelling after that, they're not going to stay for the next 30 seconds to watch the 1 minute video. And if you make a 2 or 3 minute video, I strongly say to you, if you have 2 or 3 minutes of something to say, make 2 1-minute videos or 3 1-minute videos.
That's
people,
a good idea.
People are more likely to click on 3 different 1-minute videos than they are to sit and watch your entire 3-minute videos. They just get bored no matter how compelling. And the only caveat to that I'll say is that if you are showing people how to do something, then you can take as much time as you need. You know, if you're going to show me how to accomplish some goal that I need to know how to do, for instance, I said a recipe. Okay, you're going to show me a recipe. Well, I'll sit and watch the whole recipe. I need to know from start to end what I need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that video can be 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. But when you're sharing content with people, it should be very short. 30-second to 1 minute videos are very effective. And then, like I said, make 3 or 4 or 5 of them if you have to. Break up what you have to say into 1 minute segments.
You know, you just reminded me when you talked about the recipe, one of my followers who was a video person sent out an overview of some of the projects that he's working on, and one of them was a contest for a Jewish retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and I absolutely loved it. It was two ladies, one who was like 90 and the other one was 93, Jewish ladies, so my Jewish friends will appreciate this. And they were doing a contest for who had the best recipe for matzah brei.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who don't know what matzah brei is, on Passover, we're supposed to eat matzah, not leavened bread, unleavened bread, flat bread. So I guess our ancestors were looking for ways to make matzah more interesting, and they would mix it, they'd mash it up and mix it with egg and fry it and some other things. So these two ladies were in the kitchen.
Do you do yours with salt, or do you do it with a little bit of syrup, syrup?
Oh, I don't know, you know, because I guess you could, because I don't...
I've seen it both ways, that's why I always asking.
You
yeah.
have? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't like matzah brei that much, but I love this contest.
I'll eat an egg any way you can make it.
And then in the middle was another woman who was judging them. And it was so delightful. It brought back, got me very nostalgic. You know, even though my grandmas didn't make matzah brei, I just love the idea of these grandmas or great grandmas as they were. And they were so literate and they were sharing. And one woman was saying, well, I don't know how much, you know, I'm putting in here. She said, I've never used, you know, measurements. I just throw it in, you know, and it comes out fine. And then suddenly her son is standing behind her, you know, who's a middle-aged man. Maybe he's 50 or 60. And she's saying, this is my son. And he says, yes, and my mother is a fantastic cook. You can see that, you know, and he's got a big belly, and she makes the best matzo brei. It was
great. So
good. I'm not sure how they did it at the contest.
Well, let's take just a second to use that to springboard off of the idea of, you know, how do you make an entertaining video? And I'm constantly challenged by that, you know, because everyone wants that viral video. We've all heard that.
Yes.
And for those of anybody listening, the viral video is something that's so entertaining that you want to share it with your friends, and they want to share it with their friends, and before you know it, it goes viral. It goes passed on from person to person to person. And, you know, that is the holy grail of video. It's a holy grail of content in general, isn't it? I mean, we hope somebody's so intrigued that they're going to share it. So you know, what you've just described to me is the kind of video that has the potential to go viral, because if someone finds that these women are entertaining, they're going to want to share it with their friends.
That's
You know, sometimes that's not an easy thing to produce, but sometimes you happen into it. But one of the ways that you happen into it, I think, is by taking some risks and doing some things that are a little outside of what you might normally do. And it just goes back to what I said earlier, is that, you know, don't just set your camera up and don't just sit in front of your computer. You know, that's never going to be interesting. Ultimately, if you just try talking with different people, try putting yourself into different situations, that, you know, you may just happen to do something entertaining that will go viral. And it starts by interacting with other people, for one thing, and being in unusual situations that have the potential to be entertaining.
Absolutely agreed upon.
Yeah.
So here are some other ways that I use the one camera videos that Barbara produced for me. We have meeting planners who come to our website to book our speakers, because speaker services bring speakers and authors together with audiences. Even though the text was there forever and it said, this is in big letters, this is how you can book our speaker, they didn't read it. So now there's a big old video there, you know, on that page. And and I can see how many people are reading it, which is great, you know, and they're looking at it. So then I don't have to explain it over and over again. They get it. They get right to the person that they want to, you know, get to. So that was another one that I produced. And then I did one on I do speaker marketing consulting, one-on-one and on workshops. So I have a page on that. So I did a video on Speak Your Passion and Do You Have a Speaker Marketing Plan? Very short. And, you know, I could be a talking head and say, you know, these are the mistakes that speakers make. Speaking is a business and, you know, you got to get out of your head, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But I did something like this, and this was really fun. I don't know if you saw this one yet.
Tell me.
Reno. It was, hi, you know, the phone rang. This is Susan again. You know, my phone rang the other day, and I answered the call, and I said, this is Susan Levin, Speaker Services. And the person on the other end said, I want to be a speaker. And I said, well, what do you want to speak about? Well, I could speak about anything. And this is a common response that I get and a red flag that goes up.
Yeah.
And I said to them, well, what are you passionate about? Tell me what you're passionate about, and then we can start the conversation. Or I may get a question like this. What's the most popular subject that people are getting booked on?
Right,
I can speak
about
it. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And I'm like, no.
So have voice will travel, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that people seem to like. I did another one on how to do a proper introduction. When you go out to speak, you need to have an introduction.
Sure.
You know, so those are the kinds of things. But here's what I've done. I just didn't stick them on my website. I put them on YouTube, by the way. Everybody can do YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. You can upload it easily from your camera or on your own. It's very, very simple. And you can put, and the reason that I chose to do it on YouTube was because you can put in the keywords and the tags, and you, Reno was talking before about, you know, going viral. Well, people will pick up on it. If they have Google alerts out there, or it could become viral.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I put it on Twitter and on LinkedIn and Facebook. I put it on my blog along with an article, or if I'm doing a workshop, you know, I just put it all over the darn place. And the stats just went crazy, you know, and again, I can see, you know, how people are looking at it. And I have a few more that I haven't even rolled out yet. I think another way that people could use video too, which I'm thinking about doing, is like doing maybe 30 videos and setting it up with an autoresponder and saying 30 tips in 30 days for $30, let's say.
Oh, that's a great idea. And then you get a different video each time.
Right, and it comes to you in your email, and it's just 1 minute.
Yeah. To that end, I'll give you a quick idea. As you know, I produce book video trailers. Which
yes, let's talk about
that. We didn't talk about yet, but I'll say very quickly that...
No, no, don't make it quickly. Talk about it.
Well, you know, book video trailers are short videos, typically about 1 minute, that talk about the salient aspect of somebody's book. And so we know that a lot of your speakers are also authors. And this is an interesting thing, because I think that it's important to have a video that shows you as a speaker, but mm-hmm. you should not necessarily do your book video trailer. In fact, I just had this discussion today with a potential author who said, oh, you know, I'm a speaker, I could do the voiceover for my video myself. And I said to her, you know, it's fine, you could do that, but sometimes it's much stronger to have someone else talking about you. So you're not always a one-man show or one-woman show. Mm-hmm. Even in my own case, where I produce book video trailers, but I'm also the author of the book Turn Your Business Card into Business that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But for my book video trailer, I had a woman actually do the voiceover for my book. So that I think it's more compelling to have someone else telling someone about my book. Do you see
right.
what I'm saying?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah.
It adds more credibility.
Yeah, and it adds variety and credibility uh-huh. both. And so then when I come back and talk, my voice should be that of the expert. So when I come back, someone else can talk about my book, but then I can come back and talk about things that are in my book and be the expert about that. And so I think that's an important tip that people can think about. The other thing I wanted to say was that the book video trailers typically do not have live video.
Right.
Remember you and I talked about this
yeah,
early on.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah, exactly. And my book video trailers are really comprised, you think of them more as multimedia presentations, they're really mm-hmm. comprised of a number of static images. And I think this is an important thing for listeners to think about too, is that mm-hmm. video does not always have to be live video. In other words, you can do a voiceover and match images that are part of your message to that video. And a lot of the web introduction web videos that I do, where I also create videos for people's websites that explain what their website is about, those videos typically don't have live video either. They're images that I derive from their website with a voiceover that uh-huh. explains it. And so essentially what you're doing is walking people through your website very quickly, giving them an overview of what you do, using some of the images from your website. And then now once they've heard that 30-second introduction, now they know, okay, I'm in the right place. This has the kind of information I'm looking for. And then they'll go on and surf the rest of your website, investigate it themselves. So.
Right.
So that was a couple things I wanted to say was
yeah.
the idea of using static images, that you don't always have to do live video with the flip camera and all that stuff, which may be a lot for somebody to have to think about.
No, I think that's good. And tell people where they could see some samples of your work again.
Yeah, well, again, you can look at the at authorsbroadcast.com to see the book video trailers. And you can go to renoweb.net and see some live video that I've shot. I do a lot of resort video. I'm in Chicago, as you mentioned before, and I work with a lot of resorts up in the Door County, Wisconsin area in the summer. And I've got a number of resort videos there and other videos that I've done, little, you know, ideas of them. And you can see my chili recipe video there, too, at renoweb.net. So.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important for authors to have a book trailer, and I know they're relatively inexpensive and they get the message across about what your book is about. But I also think that if you have the budget, that another video, a live video, is helpful too.
Because absolutely.
I think that people want to know more about you, why you wrote the book or how it came into being. They begin to be fans of yours, and, you know, they feel closer to you.
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to mention something. I'm glad you mm-hmm. said it now, because I'd forgotten, and I've been thinking about it all week to remember to say this. But, you know, I ran across something the other day, and, in fact, I mentioned it to this author I was speaking to the other day, who wanted to do a web to do the book video trailer, and I said, you know, let me do the voiceover for your trailer, but what you can do is a reading. That's another thing
uh-huh.
that
yes.
authors could do, is just a short reading from your book, and that's appropriate to be in your voice and to
mm-hmm.
have you do. And that's something you can do informally or formally. So you can do it in your backyard in a nice, you know, environment, or you can do it much like you do, stand up, you know, in front of an audience someplace and do it very professionally. Or maybe a local bookstore. If you do a reading at a bookstore,
yeah,
you videotape that. And again, keep it short. Just to show you sort of how old-fashioned I am, I was watching the movie I Remember Mama. Do you remember that movie?
I saw that the other night.
Did you last night or night before with
broadcast?
Irene Dunne? I love it. My wife and I both love that movie, so now you know just how sappy
I love
I
the
really
show.
Am.
I watched the TV show in the 50s.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a great movie because it marries a wonderfully – I think it's appropriate for the audience listening here today is mm-hmm. that it marries very excellent writing with excellent movie making, and that makes a good movie no matter what the subject matter
mm-hmm.
is. But in that movie, I always love the quote that she says to a woman. She says, you know, you don't have to eat a whole meal to find out whether somebody's a good cook.
Mm.
And I think that that goes back to this message I'm always saying is that, you know, 30 seconds or a minute is plenty. You know, it's the same thing if you're doing
yeah.
a reading and a live reading, you can do for 2 or 3 minutes. People have come to spend that time with you.
Mm-hmm.
But a video, you want to keep that reading, again, pretty short, like about a minute. So find a good spot and, you know, maybe fade it in or fade it out if it's part of a longer reading. But,
that's
again,
a good idea.
It's unlikely that someone's going to sit there and listen to 3 minutes. You might have the three-minute version for the few people who do want to hear the whole thing. But if you want to get that person who's just sort of like on your website and trying to find out what you're all about, you know, again, keep it short, keep them wanting more, and remember that quote that you don't have to, you know, eat a whole meal to find out whether someone's
I
a good cook.
It. Well, yeah. One of the things that you could do, this is good, is that you could put it on your blog and, you know, like do maybe like a shorter version of it, like 2 minutes of it, and then have the text below it. So
yeah,
that they
or,
can
you know,
it.
Roll it out. Remember I said if you have 3 minutes of content, do 3 1-minute videos. How about if you rolled out a minute every day or every once a week or something so that people had a compelling reason to come back and hear a little bit more of your book? Do it in sort of a serial fashion. That's an idea, too. So.
Yeah, that's a really, really good idea. We're going to do in September 26th, once a year we do a 3-camera video demo shoot. We take 18 people in a day in L.A. for speakers. But we decided this time, too, I was telling you earlier that, you know, that we're also going to take authors, and we're going to do an author's video, much like what we're talking about here, where we're going to do 3 segments for them. They will do a 1-camera interview with them, you know, why did they write the book, what are they
mm-hmm.
about. Then we're going to do a mock book signing because we're going to have the audience there for the videos. We'll shoot that, and then we'll get them live in front of the audience, you know, maybe another minute. It'll be like 3 minutes all together. And they can use each part separately on their website, or they can have it as one piece. So I think that's really good value for them. That's for authors who are comfortable in front of a camera.
Yeah, absolutely, which not everyone is, and not every author is a public speaker either, but in your case, many of your public speakers are authors, but it doesn't always work in the reverse.
But not all of them are comfortable in front of a camera because they've been writing for so long, and we train a lot of those people too.
Yeah.
So that's coming up in September, and for those people who are interested in performance coaching, how to feel comfortable in front of the camera, and if you happen to be in L.A., on May 1st and June 5th, Barbara Niven and I are doing another workshop, as I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to be talking about the marketing aspect of it, a lot of like what we're talking about now and then some, and then she gets you in front of the camera. It's called You on Camera, and it's only $99, you know, for the whole day or almost the whole day, and people have tremendous breakthroughs so that when they are ready to get in front of their own camera or her camera or your camera, you know, that they have a lot more comfortableness doing that and more emotion in their voice,
mm-hmm.
You know, because that could be tricky. And they learn from watching each other. She plays everything back on the monitor so that everybody can see it, and then we both, you know, we talk about it. And then they do it over again. So people are really learning, you know. how to do it, because, you know, the biggest fear in the world besides death is speaking.
You know? Exactly right, yeah.
And, you know, if you have to get in front of a camera, that can be very scary.
Except I think I remember from Toastmasters, I used to say, but
yeah,
there have never been any reported deaths of people speaking. So it's one thing to keep in mind.
Yes,
that even
thank
though it
you
may feel that way,
yes,
it doesn't seem to have ever really happened.
No, it hasn't happened. But you know the quote from Jerry Seinfeld?
What's that?
Have you ever heard that?
No.
He said people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
Yeah.
And I just read it on Facebook again, too. Somebody had
yeah
that up on their
that's pretty
on
good
their wall. And
yeah,
it's true, you know. It is so frightening, you know. And it's, you know, and it's really just about, you know, being vulnerable, being seen. But I again say this, and I'm sure you say the same thing. It's like, just talk to us like you are talking to your friend. You know, you're excited about something. You want to educate them. You want to inform them. You want to entertain
right
them. Don't, you know, try to be perfect. That's the other thing. People try,
don't
to,
try
be
to be
perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, and don't try to act. And I think you bring up an excellent point, too, which is the idea that talking to your friend, you know, if you're nervous about just standing up and talking in front of the camera, which also can be kind of boring, you know, if it's not well thought out, is maybe talk to a friend. Have a friend that you that you're comfortable talking with, and
mm-hmm
have a discussion much like you and I are having right now. And that's going to make much more compelling video.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you might even be able to just edit that out. Sometimes you can talk to your friend. You could actually edit your friend out and string together something that
wow
looks like you talking extemporaneously. But it's helpful to have somebody who's sort of feeding you some questions. That's a sort of separate talent you have to work with a little bit, because you have to be sure to pause for a minute and answer the question, you know. But anyway, the thought of having somebody feeding you some questions sometimes is a way to get
yeah
people relaxed and to help your stream of consciousness. And again, much like what we're doing right now,
right,
this is not rehearsed in case anyone didn't notice that.
Could you tell? Reno, tell, you know, just in case we have some people there in the Midwest, in the Chicago area,
yeah,
who want to get a hold of you to do
sure
either book trailers with you or even the one camera work or
sure
some editing.
Well, the, yeah,
tell
the,
them how they can find you.
Right. Well, the book trailer, obviously, you can be anywhere in the country, and we work with people nationwide, and you can, you know, get a hold of me. First of all, you can visit authorsbroadcast.com, get information there. You can email me at Reno, just like Nevada, by the way. My name's Reno, just R-E-N-O, and it's reno@renoweb.net. Those are a couple of good ways to get hold of me, and you can call me. I don't mind people calling me. My telephone number is 773-989-1960, and those are three good ways to get a hold of me, reno@renoweb.net, authorsbroadcast.com, and also visit renoweb.net to sort of get an overview of all of the different things that I'm involved in.
Yeah, and is Grandpa Does Grandma on your website?
Yeah, oh, you know Phil, that's right. I introduced
yeah
you to Phil, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's interesting that you should mention that, because I don't have it on my website only because
oh
it's a slightly controversial.
Oh, you
and
think it's too racy?
Some people do.
Oh.
I don't. So I just sort of omitted it as a, you
oh
know, as a result of that. But it is a book called Grandpa Does Grandma, which is you know, actually a entertaining and interesting book. We did a great video on it, and you can see that at philparker.com, at Phil Parker's website.
I loved the book. I read it from cover to cover. I thought it was just
it's real
delightful
cute, and the illustrations are great, and Phil's
yeah
a great guy, and, you know.
And I thought that the title was a little racy, too, and then I spoke to my editor friend, Jean Noel, and
yeah
she said, nope. She said, it's not racy. That's what sells books. And,
yeah, but, you know, because the for those of the people who haven't guessed so far, it has some sexual innuendo.
Yeah, it does.
It's a sort of how-to manual for people over a certain age. Let's put
over
it that way.
Over 60.
Okay. And, you know, but it's done with great humor and good taste.
Very
you
candid.
Know. Exactly. So, but I'm proud to have done the book trailer for it, and it's a great book. So
yeah, really enjoyed it. So, you know, it's pretty easy to get your videos up and out. YouTube will give you the link, or you can get the embedded code, meaning if you know how to do HTML, all you have to do is copy and post it. behind the scenes, I always say, you know, so that people can see the video right on your website. Otherwise, they'll have to go to YouTube to see it. And you can size it any size that you want it to be. And it's so easy these days. You know, it says, you know, do you want this size, or that size?
Right.
You know. And they didn't always have that. They changed it because I remember talking to you about that, Reno. I'm going like, well, how do I know what size it's going to be? You said, don't worry, I'll help you. And now it's there.
Yeah, they're constantly changing that. There was a great program the other night about Google on television last night, I think. Yeah, it was very good. And Google, of course, owns YouTube, is the reason I mentioned it. And I think that it's important, you know, according to my clock, we still have a couple minutes here.
I think
that it's important to mention that part of the reason that we're talking about this video, one thing is to share content. But the other thing, too, is that there is a growing number of people, and by growing number, I mean billions of people with a B, that are actively looking for video content. In other words, that is their preferred way to receive the content that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if you may have printed content, which Google can index and point people to, but the fastest growing area right now is YouTube, which is the second largest search engine today, where people are actively looking for your content via video. So it's not really so much an option as it is a necessity, really, in business today, that you have video content there that points people to your website for those people who are looking for that content. And cell phones people under, say, 40, probably under 30, for sure, they are actually accessing the internet via their cell phone more often than they are via their PC or computer. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, again, video is a preferred way to get this content. They don't want to sit there and try to read a little tiny script on their cell phone. They'd rather watch a video.
Yeah, I was going to say mobile is going crazy.
Yeah, and so again, this part of the internet is only going to be growing by leaps and bounds over the next months and years, a couple of years. So get on board, get your video now, whether it's a multimedia video compiled from a series of images, or whether it's a live one-camera flip video, or whether it's a professionally produced three-camera video like you do. I think everybody needs some kind of video out there, and chances are you probably need more than one.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, more than one. And I said in the promo for this teleclass was, don't let video pass you by. And I've been saying to people, if you aren't involved with social media, and this is social media, folks, believe it or not, you're going to be left in the dust. If you're not doing online marketing strategies for video and other purposes, you will be left behind. If you don't know what LinkedIn is, Facebook, Twitter, Plaxo, Ping.fm, you are going to get left behind. So get with the plan. Your kids may know it, but if you have a business, you absolutely have to market this way. And as I said earlier in the conversation, my business has exploded since I started doing video or adding video to my website. And most of my business now comes from the social media, which is fabulous. Are you finding that for yourself now too, Reno?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, there's everything that we do contributes to, you know, the marketing mix today. You can't rely on any one channel, so to speak. And by channel, I mean any one medium, I guess you could look at.
Yeah.
So whether that's your website or well, anyway, all of these things combined are effective today. I wanted to I was a little distracted there because I wanted to comment on the thing that you said, which is how your business has exploded since you put video on your website.
Mm-hmm.
I found a statistic, and I can't put my finger on where it came from right this minute, but it was in another conference I was in, where somebody had done a study and found that actually just by simply having the presence of a video on your website actually increased sales. In the study that they did where they actually looked at like several hundred websites, that even if people didn't necessarily click on the video and watch it, the fact that the presence of a video on their website had an impact on sales, because just the presence of video sort of says that these people were or these companies were prepared to give in-depth information, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was kind of interesting. So I think, you know, the fact that you've experienced that from the standpoint of, you know, people obviously watching your videos, but I thought that that was an interesting statistic that they were able to measure and say that, you know, just actually just having a video on your website makes you look more professional, makes you, gives people more confidence. That's what was derived from that study.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and I'm seeing a lot more people doing a short video to market their workshops. James Malinchek, the College Bootcamp, is doing a ton of them. Lisa Sasevich does many on hers. So when you come into it, you know, you got an idea of what's going on and who that person is who's speaking to you, who's asking you for thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You're not going in blindfolded.
And let's face it, you can just give more information in a short period of time via video, you know, first via what we're doing, just talking. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
much easier. But I think, you know, probably we need to step this up in sometime in the future, too, and probably do this,
mm-hmm.
say, via Skype with, you know, some video that we could capture as well. It's a little bit technically still, that's a little bit of a challenge right now to do a two-way conversation like you and I are having via video.
So people can see us?
Yeah. It is possible, but that's sort of like, that'll be the next step for us. But I think doing video, the type of video we're talking about right now is video where you have total control over what you're doing in one place.
Right.
And the next thing is to do it in two places like this. But the larger point I was making is that you can just share more information via video because you're talking. It's faster than requiring people to read your website, read all the content that you've been preparing. So
I'm tired of reading. I just want somebody to tell me like it is.
Yeah. And my author clients, the hair on the back of their neck goes up when we talk about that. But, you know, and it's even sort of somewhat incongruous to think of a book video trailer that I produced, a video that is designed to encourage you to read. There seems to be something wrong with that message. But at the same time, people only have time to read so much, and so they need to, the decision part of deciding what they want to read, that has to be done quicker. And video helps you consider more content. And then you can invest in the content that you want to spend time with.
You know, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. I really sincerely enjoy the conversation.
Thank you.
Sharing all your valuable information with us. And we'll be back with you on the 29th of this month, where I'll be interviewing three speakers, successful speakers, two of them who are part of Speaker Services, and asking them how they get speaker bookings. How do they think outside of the box? What do they do to be successful speakers? Because they're making tons of money doing it. So that'll be on April 29th for the speakers community, or for those of you who purchased the video. Thank you, guys. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.
Thanks for including me. Bye.
Oh, you're so welcome. Bye.